Welcome to Manga Cubed, episode 117, your one-stop for manga news and commentary for the week of October 13th, 2014. I am your main host, Derek, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mao.
Morning, everyone.
Good morning, and it is actually technically morning, still. Or pre-noon, as some might call it.
Yeah.
And so, yep. You may have noticed last week that we may have accidentally said that it was episode 115. You may also have noticed that the episode file says it's 116. Apologies for that. I think I got confused. So, yeah. All right. Well, it's a good week, isn't it? I think, sort of. Maybe.
Should be a good week. I mean, it's fall, and it's been pretty chilly these days. And let's just say, if you have a car that's from the 1990s, let's just say that you better always carry napkins if you're going out at night to wipe the windshield, because it's very hard to see at night.
Well, yeah. It was, yeah, it's starting to get a little cool down here as well, but it's kind of alternating. It's actually a nice, bright, sunny day. I'm just waiting for it to not be a bright, sunny day anymore. But, yeah, let's go ahead and get into the news, shall we?
Yeah.
Starting with the Japanese comic rankings for September 29th to October 5th. And in 10th place, we have Uchu Kyodai, Space Brothers, Volume 24.
9th place, Sore de mo machi wa mawateru. And Yet the Town Moves, Volume 13.
8th place, World Trigger.
7th place, Kyo wa Kaisha Yasumimasu, Volume 7.
6th place, Nisekoi, Volume 14.
5th place, Gintama, Volume 56.
4th place, Bleach, Volume 65.
3rd place, Assassination Classroom, Volume 11.
2nd place, Kuroko's Basketball, Volume 29.
I think it's the final volume, apparently. Really? And first place, Haikyuu, Volume 13.
Cool.
That's the volleyball one, the popular one right now.
Yes, we should look at that sometime. All right. New York Times manga bestseller list for September 28th through October 4th. In 10th place, we have Sword Art Online, Aincrad, number 2.
I have no idea why 10th is second for some reason.
Weird. All right, well, I assume it's 10th.
I know 10th, but I'm just saying this is funny that way. 9th place, Soul Eater, Volume 22.
8th place, Monster Musume, Volume 4.
6th place, Attack on Titan, No Regrets, Volume 1.
Let's see, what was it? 5th place, Attack on Titan, Volume 13.
4th place, Noragami, Stray God, Volume 1.
3rd place, Attack on Titan, Volume 1.
Wow. Okay then. 2nd place, Fairy Tail, Volume 42.
1st place, Mobile Suit Gundam The Origin, Volume 7. Let's see, and we already went over Fairy Tail Volume 42, didn't we?
Yeah, sure, I believe we did.
Yeah, we did. Sorry, it's just there aren't very many releases right now, so I'm a little...
Because it's catching up, so now it's like, okay, just going by the simple flow of waiting until...
Hold it.
What?
Have we gone over 42? I don't think we... Did we?
Because
I look at it and it says on my schedule, volume it came out on the 30th. How very peculiar. I'm going to have to examine this. Anyway,
What?
Yeah, moving on. What is going on here? Let me take a look
at this. I think you mean the 30th of September.
Oh, right. Yes, you are correct. Oh, it's October, isn't it?
Yes, it's October.
Jeez, okay, yeah. Okay, in that case, we already
coming up. Halloween's coming up.
Yes.
Get ready for your Halloween specials and stuff.
Yes, indeed. And, okay, yeah. Wait, why do you have 43 marked down?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it was 42 that we went over.
Yeah, I'm quite sure 40. Don't ask why.
Okay, I'm going to just make a note. Well, I'll just leave that be. So, yeah. The manga releases are weird because Amazon's and Barnes & Noble's are slightly different from each other.
Yeah. So,
yeah, I'll have to double check and see what the most recent volume is that I have. But, yep, alright, well, let us carry on. I think I may need to double check for some release dates later on, because...
Those
seem to be weird, but it looks like we don't have anything new that's coming out that we review. So no Ranma, no, yeah, nothing besides Fairy Tail coming out later this month.
Well, I feel like I'm gonna dominate this day.
Yeah, besides Fairy Tail coming out later this month, and I'm just thinking, how much longer till we get caught up to that? We don't have anything coming until November and so on, so, oh well.
Alright, let's continue on the news.
Yep, let us do that. The next bit of news that we have is the North American anime and manga releases for October 12th through the 18th.
And how fitting, it's for this week.
Yes. And for the anime releases, we have Black Butler Season 2 DVD Blu-ray Complete Set.
Fate Stay Night Blu-ray Complete Collection. Wow.
Hanasaku Iroha Home Sweet Home Blu-ray Premium Edition.
See, at least Nisa does it right. Maybe that's an old series, though. Kill Me Baby for the Blu-ray.
Meganebu Blu-ray Complete Collection and DVD Complete Collection.
Naruto Shippuden DVD Set 20 Uncut.
And Naruto Triple Feature, Ninja Clash in the Land of Snow, Legend of the Stone of Gilel, Guardians of the Crescent Moon Kingdom DVD.
Gilel. I know. Princess Jellyfish DVD Complete Series Save Edition.
And Yu-Gi-Oh! GX Season 1 DVD Complete Collection.
Ah, yeah, that one.
Yep. Alright, now for the manga releases. Ajin, Demi-Human, Volume 1.
Oh man, we need to read that.
Do we?
That's the one, yeah, that's the one that takes place, that, oh, it doesn't take place in Africa, but the so-called word didn't come from Africa. I kind of want to read more manga stories as he has a setting in Africa, just because it feels like, you know, I mean, I understand why, but just, why, well, remember reading Hide and Closer? That was good. And I was like, yeah, they go to Africa, and then all of a sudden find the end. I'm like, ah, disappointment. All the way through. Okay, next one. Blue Morning, Volume 5. That's a porno.
Yes, indeed.
It says adult.
Bride of the Water God, Volume 16.
Case Closed, Volume 52.
Deadman Wonderland, Volume 5.
Flowers of Evil, Volume 11.
Maji, Volume 8.
Magical Girl Apocalypse, Volume 1.
Apparently that one's kind of messed up or something. What I've heard. So,
well, I'll be taking a note from I forgot to say the name anymore.
Yeah. Rukia, the New Book of Revelation, Volumes 1 and Volume 2.
Oh my goodness, this actually came out finally. Yeah, that's a weird series, I'll just say that. The art, it kind of clashes with the tone of things. Anyways, and the next one is Say I Love You, Volume 4.
Yes. Oh, I think I remember what that one.
Yes, that one.
Yeah, that one was weird. Okay.
Weird. Yeah. I'll explain it some other time. Yeah. If I feel like it.
Yeah. Other releases: The Art of the Evil Within, hardcover art book.
Oh, the game, The Evil Within, for the PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One game. Comes on all except the Wii U.
Yep. Senran Kagura Shinobi versus PlayStation Vita game.
I want to play that. Anyways, and Tears 2, Tiara of 2, Heir of the Overlord, PlayStation 3 game. Indeed. I have it.
Cool. All right. And, okay, what other news do we have?
Okay. Other news. Kuroko's Basketball is going to launch a sequel in December.
Cool.
Because I'm sure people were like, why did it end like that? And, well, it's going to get its the sequel's going to start on December 29th. So mark it right there. I never read the series, but it was just, to me, even for someone who's never read the series much, or barely even read, I only read the first chapter. I think the first few chapters probably kind of stopped at some point. Anyways, even to me, it felt like it just felt weird that it ended in a way where it didn't make sense.
Okay.
Because I read the commenters saying there's so many things that could still be wrapped up. Then again, that's what most manga do. They fail to wrap many, many, many things up. Yeah. Okay. And the next bit of news is Kodansha USA adds Tsubasa World Chronicle manga Fairy Tail, Blue Mistral, spin-off Fairy Tail manga. That's the one featuring Wendy, by the way. LDK manga and Inuyashiki manga. And respectively, they are from Clam, the Gantz creator, because apparently they can't remember his name. Ayu Watanabe and Rui Watanabe. This one is wait, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, yeah. I don't know the name of the Gantz creator. I'm sure it says, okay, Hiroya Oku, there you go.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Alright, cool. Alright, what else do we have?
Okay, more bits of news. Viz Media adds Tokyo Ghoul and So Cute It Hurts manga. Now, Tokyo Ghoul is the one that people talk about lately for some reason. I don't know why.
I don't know. From what little bit that I've heard, I've decided it seems a little too gory for my tastes.
Oh, I want to read it. I want to read it.
Yeah, well. Also, there's a bit of news, which I don't know whether we should mention in now or in the next episode, but...
Do we?
Yeah. Well, it's a bit of something that I saw that apparently a certain series involving school and prison is getting licensed for the U.S. by Yen Press.
Oh my goodness, that's totally awesome. I know what that series is called. Should I say what it's called?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Kangoku Gakuen, also known as Prison School.
Yeah, that's one of those ones where I'm thinking, okay, I've gotten enough entertainment out of this school, out of this manga, even though it's absolutely depraved, but it's also freaking hilarious.
So it's totally hilarious.
I'm kind of stuck between wanting to do the right thing and pay for it after having read it, but at the same time, I'm just like, this is one of those manga that I just could not let anyone see that I have. So, yeah.
Now, I'll just say, I know what you're thinking, but when you give it a read, you'll understand why. Because it's hilarious, it makes you laugh. It's comedy.
It is quite hilarious. It's like that interesting mix between titillation and comedy. Like,
yeah.
It knows exactly how to mix things up for you.
I can't think of any series that has done that, though.
Not as well or not as extremely.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, this is one of those ones where, you know, a lot of times if, you know, there's too much fan service, you're like, oh, this is a bad thing. But with this one, it's so upfront with the fan service that it can do the dumbest things to give you fan service, and yet you can't really complain because, you know, that's the entire purpose of the manga, is showing ridiculous fan service. Like, for example, a character that she constantly has her top undone, you know, the top buttons undone, so every time that she leans down, anyone that's standing right next to her or sitting right next to her gets to see a full view of her breasts. And yet at the same time, you're thinking, wouldn't you actually, you know, put on a bra or something, or cover that, or I don't know, do up your buttons, unless you're doing this on purpose, which, okay then.
Or it totally makes no sense, I have no idea myself.
Yeah, but yeah, the whole, I don't know, the whole series is just bizarre, because, I mean, so often you'll think, okay, look, this is ridiculous. Why does the school have a prison? This seems like it would be illegal. But in the spirit of many manga that have things happening in schools that would be absolutely 100% illegal, this one's just so insane that eventually you just accept it because you think, okay, you know what? This one's so crazy insane with its, you know, with everything that it's doing that, you know, I forgive this more than I do those any of the other series where they have, look, here's a high school and messed up stuff happens here. Why doesn't the government or the cops get involved? So, or the principal even, jeez. But, yep, anyway, I think that's it for the news. So let's go ahead and, yeah, let's go over the manga review for this week. This week we are over One Piece volumes 46 through 48.
Which actually starts into the Thriller Bark arc, which is very fitting for this month.
Oh my gosh, that's perfect. Yay!
Perfect timing. I was like, what, you didn't realize that?
No, I didn't. Well, This volume, we begin with Ace fighting Blackbeard, and we end without knowing how that fight turns out, because we immediately move on to the the Straw Hat Cruise. I absolutely love this. Yeah, there's a moment that I absolutely love where it turns out they have an aquarium where they can put all the fish that they caught in there, and they throw a shark in there, and he's just like, yeah, this room is nice, but those idiots put in a shark, and then Luffy and Usopp come in, and the shark ate them all the other fish. Yeah. He's like, did the shark get in here, the one with the huge horns? Yes, it did, but all the other fish you caught are now gone.
Well, that's a smart idea. Catch the shark after catching all the small fish and eat everything.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And, yeah, so we then move on. They run into a ghost ship that has a skeleton on it. They go and meet the skeleton. And turns out he's actually a really nice guy. You know?
He's a gentleman.
Indeed. A gentleman skeleton who's also a massive pervert.
Yeah, I'll have to see that.
And then they discover the giant island ship, Thriller Bark.
Oh my goodness, my nose said Thriller Park for some reason.
Well, that would make sense. But yeah, so if they end up going aboard, on land, and yeah, the crazy thing is, for some reason, you got Nami, Usopp, and Chopper that go and, you know, go on board, and you're just like, wait, why them? This seems like a bad idea.
Because because Frank was trying to show up his new soldier docking system or something. Mm. And he's also talking about how he's pretty much, this is pretty much the volume, 46 is the volume where we get to see how the Sunny looks on the inside.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For all
you fanfic or artists who want to know how it looks and, you know, design your own version of it.
Yeah, which what we're looking in there is, like, we're getting a look inside at the end of the volume. We're getting a look at...
Oh, okay.
You know, it's at the end of the volume, and we get a look at what it looks like inside as well, just sketches, besides seeing it in the manga itself as they check the other rooms. And, at first when I looked at it, I was like, wait a minute, that looks different than I see it on the anime, but then I remember in the anime I was thinking of the Going Merry instead of Thousand Sunny. Hmm. And so I was like, alright, Going Merry, they had... there it was that they had hammocks, that's it, yes, instead of the box hammocks, which is silly. But, and
box hammocks.
Yep, and so, yeah, this one we go through, they, Nami, Usopp, and Chopper discover that there's zombies all over the place, and it's
pretty smart when you're going to a place that's clearly spooky and, you know, clearly a theme off the horror movies.
Yeah, it's pretty much the whole thing is Oda taking a page out of Tim Burton's, you know, book. It's pretty fun. They end up getting to the castle, and from there you've got all the weird, crazy stuff happening. They meet Dr. Hogback, and they find out that, you know, that Hogback is most likely responsible for some weird stuff going on. And you, of course, got the great scene where, as zombies are trying to rise from the graves, Luffy just pushes them right back into the ground.
Zombie apocalypse, just push them right back down.
Yeah. It's like, it's a zombie, stupid. And then let's see, at what point, let's see, where was it? It was actually before that, sorry, yeah. We also get the infamous scene where Nami, yeah, there we go, yeah, it's much earlier on. How did I miss that? The scene where after meeting Hogback, Nami goes and takes a bath and gets assaulted like Robin had been by an invisible force. And it's very creepy because, one, it's the most fan service One Piece has shown up to this point. Mm-hmm. Like, seriously, I mean, we'd never, sure, I guess if you count the characters having bigger breasts being fan service, okay. But no, this was the first time we straight up saw Nami completely in a situation where she was completely naked. And then an invisible person is forcing her up against the wall, and I'm like, Oda, that's creepy. Don't do that. At all. And then at the end of the volume, we find out that it's actually Absalom, the one of the leaders of the zombie squad, and it turns out, and we see that this big, giant person that they work for, who is absolutely massive, and I'm going to say this now, but he's not nearly as massive later on. So that's the end of volume 46 with the introduction to Thriller Bark, and what I would say is some of the better parts of Thriller Bark, because we get to see all the weird and funny stuff and all the memorable moments, really. Mm-hmm. And so this volume is absolutely fantastic, just because, you know, it introduces everything, and we still have the mystery of, you know, not knowing what's going on exactly.
Oh, yeah.
And like I said, you know, anytime someone thinks of Thriller Bark, they think of Luffy. They think of Luffy pushing the zombie back into the ground. For our sins, they think of Nami in the bath being assaulted by Absalom, because... You tend not to forget that kind of thing.
Yeah, you really can.
And what else? Let's see. There's also a lot of... And, of course, the meeting of Brook for the first time. But there's also a lot of little stuff, you know, like... when they get attacked by the invisible person on the ship, and first it tries to go after Robin, but she puts up a fight. But even before that, as Sanji's trying to jump off, his legs get caught, and he smashes against the side of the ship, and all the others are like, "You look so uncool." That's fantastic.
Actually, it's because he shouts something, and Zoro's like, "That was just so uncool." It's like, "Shut up."
Yeah.
Because Sanji sounds something that's apparently more funnier in Japanese, but I guess I'm not sure how it works.
Indeed. Well, let us... Yep. Well, let's move on to volume 47, I mean.
Yeah, 47.
Yep, and in... Let's see, ooh, geez. My copy has the cover opens a little too easily. It feels like it's got bent.
Ugh. Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like it's got those little bits where, you know, it's meant to bend, but I don't like it when it does that too much, but whatever.
I don't like books bend at all.
Yeah, well, I know. But yeah, if at any point any of these books break, all I have to do is just get them replaced. But anyway... this is why you don't want to buy them from Amazon, because you don't know what condition the jerks from Amazon are going to send it to you in.
Oh well. Yeah, Amazon are jerks, I'll admit that. Anyways, how about I try and go off English? So,
just summarize.
Okay, so briefly. They meet, Nami, Chopper, and Usopp, they meet, they pretty much get found out about, you know, they pretty much get suspicious, and they decide to accuse Hogback of with the whole zombie situation thing. Mm-hmm. And then eventually they hear a very familiar yo-ho-ho-ho something sound singing. And they're like, wait, is that that one skeleton? It's like, no, it's not. It's actually, it's a samurai. I'm like, looking at him like, why does this guy look familiar? Mm-hmm. It's not Zoro, but it's a samurai zombie. And for some reason, this is where the mystery starts to deepen, and you go, why is this one like singing and almost have a similar mannerism like Brook? Mm-hmm. But then and then of course it cuts from that, and it cuts to the other crew, to the other group, the more powerful, not to get kidnapped group. They run to these surprise zombies, and the funny thing is that the zombies get surprised themselves. But afterwards, they all start disappearing one by one.
Mm-hmm.
Starting with the monster trio, actually, surprisingly. It starts off with Sanji, Zoro, and then Luffy at some point. Well, if they see where Luffy's disappearing, then Robin, Frankie, just those two for the time being. They fight this zombie monkey, giant zombie monkey spider. Yeah, it's a mouthful, trust me. And Well, they have trouble. Ramanasi has a nice neat trick, I think. She does that 100 Cien Fleur with the wings. And it's oh, you have, you can fly. She's like, for 5 minutes, for 5 seconds only. Oh, because they don't train, they learn their move on the go. And then, let's say, Nami, she meets this zombie, this warthog zombie that thinks he's trying to steal Absalom from her because it's just totally misunderstanding. Oh, gee, I know the series that does that a lot. But moving on from that, so actually the funny thing is that Nami manages to trick that warthog zombie into thinking she's a man.
Yeah. It's like, okay.
I'm not a woman. I'm actually a man. Like, but you have... No, I'm really a man. And then the Raiders go, oh my God. I mean, we know she's not a man, but just imagine that they go, they're thinking, oh no, I don't want to think that. And then some of the weird ones are like, ooh.
That would be funny if it did turn out that she totally was a man.
Oh man.
It's like, all this time.
All this time.
We never knew. Alright.
Okay. And then, of course, and then while Robin and Frankie are still having trouble fighting that monkey zombie, Brooke appears, and he actually beats it and actually shows them a way to beat the zombies, which is salt. Throwing salt in the mouth.
Interesting, yeah. That stands up. That stands up. I mean, in certain mythologies, salt is effective against the undead.
Yep. And then we get to see why what's happening, because I guess we didn't cover this point, but they run to the throughout the previous volume and this volume, they're running into some a few zombies that act like certain crew members of theirs, most notably Sanji and Zoro, and of course Brooke. You already know. Well, anyway, it's not a spoiler. It's already known who that. Who the next whatever. Anyways, so we get to see what happens with we see this thing, this big shadow guy that we remember that Derek was talking about in the previous volume, taking out the shadow, and it's kind of horrific in the way, because it's like you see shadow struggling after he extracted like using scissors, like cutting the tongue off. It's just scary to me. Mm-hmm. Like that. I feel like cutting the tongue off, man, you don't cut the tongue off. He takes Luffy's shadow, which is still struggling. Kind of reminds me of the Peter Pan shadow thing. That one I saw, I was like, oh my god, it's like taking Peter Pan's shadow.
It does, yeah.
And then he puts in this giant frozen zombie that used to be this fearsome legendary war from 500 years ago. I'm like, whoa. Then Nami gets kidnapped. For the second time, I think it's the second time she's getting kidnapped. She got kidnapped again, but
yeah.
No. First time actually, because it's that so-called second time we thought that was Chief Wind of Enel, Chief Wind of Eneru.
Yeah, she wasn't really kidnapped.
She didn't really get kidnapped. She's like, oh, the four of you.
She was just like, that's doing this is probably the smarter thing.
Yeah, unlike those guys who are trying to find him and get killed anyway.
Yeah, and it's also worth noting, upping the creepiness factor of this storyline. She gets kidnapped, and Absalom has these creepy old zombies put her in a wedding dress, and you're just like, well, that's gross. That's really gross.
Yeah.
So, but
old creepy ignoring, old zombies. They don't have to be zombies. Just imagine us being creepy and old.
Yeah. And then later on, you've got the funny moment where where it's like, they're trying to wake up Zoro, Sanji, and Usopp because they've got their shadows stolen.
Yeah.
And so they find them and like, there's no time to be sleeping. Wake up! It's like, and then Usopp's like, look, there's a beautiful female swordmaster carrying lots of meat. And then Sanji's like, beautiful female? Luffy's like, meat? And Zoro's like, swordmaster? I don't know, the Viz translation for Chopper is, okay, we're doomed. I kind of prefer the version that I saw when I first read this in the Scanlations, which was, they're idiots. They're all idiots.
Yeah, that was more funnier.
Yeah, so.
But yeah, and then I guess it's the shipper. We get to see like a reaction of how they react to when they say, "Oh, now I'm gonna kidnap by this zombie," and he says he's gonna marry her, and then Sanji just explodes.
Yeah,
it's in like fiery rage.
Yeah, and Luffy is like, he wants to marry Nami. That guy's got some guts.
Hey, Luffy actually admits it. She is a scary person to be with. She's the one that, you know, can actually damage him most of the time.
Yeah, well, it is kind of it's a funny moment. He's like, oh, geez, yeah. Because, I mean, we already know that Luffy is anti-getting married because the most beautiful woman in the world later on in the series tried to get him to marry her, and he said no.
Yep.
But he's especially anti-marriage to someone that is terrifying, and Nami can be terrifying.
Yep.
So.
Okay, and then we get to find out some backstory on Brook about his afro, why he wants to preserve it. And we get this one of the most revealing things ever, and you're like, oh my god, he actually was able to link something that happened, what was it, 37 volumes ago.
Mm-hmm.
When they get to that one before they enter the Grand Line. Yeah, 37 volumes ago, I was like, holy dang, Oda knows how to plan. I have to say that much.
Yeah, or either that or he just took advantage of this, because what we discover is that Brook was one of the pirates that was friends with Laboon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that Laboon, the big whale one with all scars.
At the beginning of the Grand Line. And it's, yeah, and we discover that, yeah, he is trying to get back, and he wants to keep his afro so Laboon can, you know, recognize him. And then that's the volume. And so, yeah, this volume, I find, is, it doesn't have as many really memorable moments, or at least not as many moments that one remembers when thinking of Thriller Bark, but it does have the big one at the end, which is the moment where we realize how amazing Oda is, that he ties back, that he goes back to the well, to something that's so old, something that other artists probably would have just ignored, and he actually ties up something from early on in the beginning of the series.
All I can say is that even when I read this arc the first time, when I saw it, I was like, oh my goodness, I remember that. Because Laboon was one of my favorites. Okay. So I remembered it better. I was like, oh my, I was not crying, but I kind of wish I wanted to cry.
Yes.
I was just wow.
Yep. And it's, so yeah. And it's time, let's move on to volume 48.
Yeah.
And this time they begin their assault in earnest, and this is the part where, you know, this is the part with the fights that everyone remembers. We're going into the final conflict, basically. And you've got everyone that pairs up. You've got Robin and Chopper that fight Hogback. You then
Usopp versus Perona.
Yep. You then Usopp versus Perona. You also see that what's his name? Ors, that's it.
Ors, yes.
Yeah, he's moving because he now has
Luffy's shadow.
Yeah, Luffy's shadow, and we also the Usopp versus Perona fight, which is hilarious because it turns out that Usopp is too negative for Perona's ability.
He is her natural enemy.
And we get an Enaru face, which was fantastic.
Oh man.
And then you got Absalom that's trying to marry Nami, but then
Sanji bursts in.
Yep, Sanji bursts in and fight him. You've got Zoro versus Ryuma, the samurai zombie.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, what else? And you got Luffy that's trying to fight Moria, but he gets beaten and, you know, thrown away.
Yep.
And then, let's see, Sanji beats up. Let's see, Sanji wins.
Okay, the funny thing about Sanji fighting Absalom is that it was practically Sanji was like, he just knew he was gonna win because it was kind of like the Usopp versus Perona was natural enemy. It was like Sanji fighting the guy. Okay, basically, Absalom had the suitcase no mi, which is the invisible fruit. And it was a fruit that Sanji wanted so badly, even if he could not swim. So, and when he found out that if, and he said, if he ever found that, well, he found that someone as he had it, he, well, he would kick their butt, pretty much.
Yeah.
And he did.
Indeed.
It was just hilarious, with that one zombie going, oh, you're a pervert.
Yeah, because it turns out that he wanted to have that fruit and go into the women's baths, and, yep, turns out, yeah. With all this, with all the creepiness of Absalom being out trying to, you know, force himself on women while he's invisible, Sanji isn't much better, sadly. So this was the moment where Sanji fans just collectively sighed and lowered their faces into their hands.
Well, you can't change a pervert.
Yeah.
Sadly. I mean, the pervert could, like, suppress himself, but you can't really change a pervert.
But yeah, and then you've got, let's see, you've got Usopp. Ends up managing to defeat, Perona.
Yeah, behind how to beat her, pretty much.
Yeah.
Which is pretty simple.
Yeah, and she was like, oh, I'm going to grab your heart and crush it. And he's like, nah, I can't actually do that. And he's like, oh. And then Usopp manages to gross her out with cockroaches and stuff and beat her. And, yeah, it's actually one of the longer fights. It's kind of surprising.
Yeah, Usopp fight's pretty long, but it was actually pretty fun because it was just clearly both of them just scaring one after the other.
Yeah, and then we move on. Yeah, and then we move on to Zoro versus Ryuma, and it's pretty straightforward badass. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there's nothing goofy or funny about it really. It's just Zoro being a complete badass and defeating Ryuma, and he takes his sword after he beats him.
Yeah, then I think that fight only lasted about one chapter. Right after it started.
Yep.
And then chapter.
Yep. Well, it was longer than a chapter.
Well, I know, but
it was split throughout the volume, and it took more than a couple chapters.
Oh yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Maybe. But yeah, and then we finish off with the last fight. We get the story of you know, how Hogback brought Sindri back to life. You know, she was an actress. Everyone loved her. She was great. And
he died in an accident.
And Hogback, wanted her, but you know, she was engaged to someone else, and so Hogback finds out about her death, and so he meets up with Moria and manages to bring her back, and so Chopper is pissed because the dude is a doctor, but he's he's treating zombies and dead people like not actual humans, so...
Yeah,
and so him and Robin are... they fight them, and they fight the guy that... Yeah, they end up fighting the guy who has Zoro's shadow as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually get a really great move as the, Robin grows feet under feet and legs under Chopper and uses that to deliver a massive suplex, which is absolutely fantastic. And then, Orz starts going crazy, and you know it's time for Orz to fight the final battle. And
They're all trying to stop Orz in order to, in order to help Luffy get his shadow back first. And then they just disrupt the volume. They get defeated.
Yeah, pretty much. And also, and it's pretty awesome because it's like, we get to see all of them working together to help each other.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you got them. Yeah, you got, what is it? Orz smashes the building. Frankie and Brooke fall down, and then Zoro's falling. Robin catches him with her powers.
Hands.
Yeah, which I did not remember that happened, but now I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, oh look, she's returning the favor. Because remember, Skypiea, he caught her, and then now she has returned the favor. So that's kind of
dangerous with his sword, though. I mean, it's like, her hands. I'm like, ugh.
Yep. And we also...
Because I think she might say ow at some point, but okay.
Yeah. We also find out that the that Usopp's special attack Salt Star isn't enough to defeat him.
Sadly,
it's not enough for his massive body. So, yep, that was that. That was volumes 46, 47, and 48. Fantastic volumes, I must say. And, yeah, so for next week, we don't have any new volumes of any other series coming out, really. So we will be going over volumes 49, 50, and 51 for next episode.
Yep.
And then after that, I think it might be a while before we get any new... Before we get any new volumes, so we'll just keep going through One Piece a bit. As long as I have all this stuff, I need to organize my volumes again and just make sure of what I actually have. Because Barnes and Noble was inconsistent with what they have stocked. So I have everything that I've got from there, but there's like a few in between missing that I need to get from Amazon. So I'll probably sit down this week and order those so that we can go through them. But for now, I think we're going to take a quick break, and then we will get back and talk about the latest chapters, shall we?
All right.
It's time for the weekly commentary for issue 46 of Weekly Shonen Jump. And as we can see on the cover, we clearly officially have 5 weeks to go till the end of Naruto. So,
whoopee!
Woo! Alright, let's go ahead and talk.
Yeah, I'm the only one excited about this, okay?
Yeah. Let's go ahead and talk about Naruto number 695, Naruto and Sasuke Part 2. And there's not really much to say. It's mostly just them fighting with their respective giant thingies.
Don't forget Kishimoto saw Pacific Rim. He's influenced by it.
Yeah. While at the same time they're having flashbacks to the past and talking about blah blah, I want to kill you, blah blah, I don't want to kill you, etc. And so
Yeah. How about I slap you? Oh, is that fine?
Yeah.
That's fine? I'm sure it's okay, right? I won't kill you, but I'll still slap you. It's more insulting than killing.
Yeah, I have to say as a long-time Naruto fan, insert laugh track, I have to say this fight so far is very disappointing. Mostly because it doesn't feel like a Naruto fight, you know? With Naruto, I'm used to, you know, ninjas going face-to-face and fighting each other. I was expecting some, you know, extra superpowers and energy blasts or whatnot out of this climactic fight. But right now, it's just the giant Kyuubi and Sasuke's whatever the hell that thing is.
Wait, do they still have the power of that one sage, or is that thing gone?
I think it's gone. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. That makes sense, because Naruto's in the stage mode the whole time now.
Yeah, but, you know, but it just doesn't feel like a Naruto fight. It's like these two colossal spirit beings that are fighting each other, and it just doesn't feel like what I was hoping for. You know, I mean, as much as I give Naruto grief and wish it would just finally end, which my wish is being granted... It just feels like this final fight needs to be more intimate than what we're getting, you know? I almost want to say that what we're getting is too big. Not that this shouldn't be big, but rather that it's so big that it just doesn't feel like Naruto anymore, you know? All the fights with the exception of parts of the climactic battle, have been up close and personal affairs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Two people in their actual bodies punching at each other. Here, the two are not even close to each other. The fox form and the Amaterasu form or whatever that are punching at each other. It just doesn't feel like it's as... You know, it's not Naruto and Sasuke fighting, you know? It's Ninetales and some weird Tengu-looking crap fighting.
It's probably Susanoo.
Right, Susanoo, that's it, yeah. Well, either way, it feels disappointing. And maybe I'm trying to find reasons to hate on Naruto, which, fair enough, I do that sometimes, but I feel that even fans of Naruto would feel that this is not what they were hoping for.
Yeah, well, there are those ones who say, this is my childhood, I'm so happy, it's actually having an awesome battle. I'm like, dude, this is not an awesome battle. They're not even touching each other. I don't mean that yaoi way, I mean that fist punching, you know, like punching. Well, then again, they're ninja in a sense. One is not a ninja anymore. He's just a psychopath.
Gee, I couldn't tell.
Well, what I meant is that the final battle is disappointing because what I was really hoping was maybe Kishimoto would go, I'll go back to the old days of where they just used their jutsu to try and outsmart each other and actually try and beat each other up. Instead, he's going with the whole, they're just going to use all their moves that they learn and just start trying to overpower each other.
Well, I wouldn't mind them using all the moves that they learned, but...
That works too.
Yeah, the power creep in this series is just stupid, you know? It's like, for the most of the series, it was up close and personal abilities, but then suddenly, like in the last story arc, everyone got these giant spirit forms, which just doesn't fit. It I don't know, it just doesn't seem right.
Well, don't forget, Japan likes their mechas, and they like to put their mechas into their non-mecha manga.
Yeah. I've seen a GIF that supports that. It's weird. But, yeah. Anyway, let's move on to Bleach. Chapter 600. Oh, nice.
And,
600. Yep. So, we start off with Senjumaro having a giant hole in her head. And I have to say, this is probably one of the most gruesome things Kubo has ever drawn. Mostly because you can see that it's just, you know, you see it's not a perfectly clean hole. There's bits of flesh sticking up, just tiny bits. And you've got just a small trickle of blood that somehow seems way more horrifying than any bursts of blood ever could be.
It's a big black pile of blood, but it looks,
afterwards, it does spread out pretty big, but yeah, they go to clean her up, move her out of the way, but then it turns out that nope, she's not dead. They've been captured by her and by the other members of the Squad Zero that put them in a cage. And so now they're wondering, now they are having to face off against, what's his name again? Oetsu, that's it. Also, I want to ask, what the hell is up with Thor?
I don't know.
How did Thor get in on this?
You just realized? Oh, yeah, right.
Well, I mean, yeah, I'm pretty sure we noticed him last week, but This is just so silly.
I know. There's a panel where his helmet just looks clearly like Thor. Like, well, okay then. Kubo has read some Marvel.
Clearly.
Or seen the Avengers, at least.
Yeah, but what's funny is that he, you know, he doesn't have a hammer. He has a sword. So I'm just like, it's like Kubo decided, I'm not going to risk it. You know? It's like, if I make it any more obvious, I may get in trouble.
I like two swords.
What? Well, yeah, Vikings use swords, but Thor, his thing is a hammer. He always has a hammer. So.
True. Mjolnir. Unpronounced.
Yeah, you got it right.
Oh, cool. I got it.
You got it better than some of the actors in the movies. Mjolnir.
Mjolnir.
But yeah, this was a fun chapter. I have to say that, you know, often one will get sick of the, oh no, this person is dead. Oh no, they're not. Yay. I mean, yay.
Well, you gotta realize that Zero Squad kind of put an Aizen there.
A little bit.
Oh, you thought this was the actual? No, this is a fake. Where's the actual's over there? But you're not getting there until you beat us.
Yeah.
We'll beat you first. But then again, story wise, we'll lose to you because your boss is strongest for some reason.
For some reason this time it feels more satisfying. You know, normally I'm of the opinion that look, they did that stupid thing again. But in this case, I'm a little. Okay, it's just the fact that how gruesome the, the fake dead body was makes me think, okay, we got something out of it, you know, we at least got a little bit of shock value out of it, not in that, this character is dead, how shocking, but more, oh, jeez, that's a lot of blood, and that's a big hole, that's shocking.
Look at the Afro Man.
yes, indeed. All right, well, let's move on to One Piece, chapter 763. And where we see Jinbei's story, where the ruins atop the port are the Sea Kitten's town. Wonder where this will go.
I wonder too.
Yep. And then we get into the actual chapter, which is okay. You know what? Let's go back to the main page, the front page. That's such a cute little sea kitty, look. He's still crying, but he's so happy they found his town.
I want to catch it and eat it.
No, don't do that.
I'm sorry, but that's what most pirates do anyway.
I don't want to go back. Don't make me. Fine.
Sorry, but we are go through it.
Okay, well, we see a mob has caught Doflamingo and his father and brother.
But the Don Quixote family.
The Don Quixote family, minus the mother, it would appear, which, good for her, I guess.
Good for her.
Yeah, and we get some of the darkest crap we have ever gotten in One Piece. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, this one guy had a 5 and 2-year-old sons, and they accidentally walked in front of the path of some celestial dragons and ended up getting shot.
16 times.
Yep. And then this one woman says, my daughter was taken for a slave and she came home in a miserable state. She wouldn't speak a word of what happened and killed herself 3 days later. So,
this is the one where he didn't want to go.
I think we can assume what Oda is trying to say with that. And I'm a little uncomfortable because now Oda has introduced this thing into the One Piece world, and I was hoping we could ignore that for longer, but
Look, the Celestial Dragons are disgusting mother efforts.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that.
Very, quite likely, literally, depending on how attractive the mother is. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, that's true. And the next guy says he was a slave and he lost his eye for sport.
I said wait.
Okay, fine. Okay.
Look, no, actually, I just wanted to point one other thing out. I mean, we did know that this was something that happened with the Celestial Dragons. If you remember, one of the first introductions that we had one of them take another man's fiance, kidnap her and have her say, you'll be my new wife.
Oh, yeah.
So we're like, yeah, gee, I wonder what's going to happen to her. I'm sorry. But yeah, the next guy.
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, well. This one was, this time it was much, much, much darker because it's like, you know, it's actually kind of amazing how Oda manages to imply something, you know, we know what this is, but he doesn't have to say it. And that's, you know, that's really well done. And, but yeah, anyway, moving on. We have, you know, they're shooting them. They're shooting them with arrows and stuff, and you're just like, geez, these people are these people are messed up. I mean, sure, they have legitimate grievances, but this is what happens when you've got, you know, when you've got a situation where everyone is in the wrong on both sides, you know? And then we've got Doflamingo wakes up from this nightmare, and it's very clear that someone is not... is still traumatized by this.
Well, at least we see how his eyes look behind the sunglasses.
Yeah, we get to see one of them, so we know that it looks like an eye. But, yeah, that's... yeah, no... Unfortunately, we don't get to see them shaped like his sunglasses, like we did with Django.
Oh man, that was just freaky.
Yep, and then we skip even further into the past where we see that Don Quixote Homing and his family left Marijoa 33 years ago from when from the flashback. This can get a little confusing.
Yeah.
We also get to see Doflamingo's mother for the first time. And so, yeah, she looks nice. They both look nice, actually. They look like nice people, and they behave like nice people, and so you're like, oh, you seem like an upstanding person, because, you know, all the Celestial Dragons are like, oh, why would you give up your divine right and to descend to the level of a human? And this, and Don Quixote Homing is the only one of them that is not absolutely insane, because, like, we are humans. We always have been, and all the other Celestial Dragons are kind of furious about this.
Yeah.
Also worth pointing out that the only celestial dragons that aren't complete evil turds also happen to be the only good-looking ones.
Yeah, well, there's also that one from the cell body, but, you know.
They all, well, you mean the one girl? Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
The men are all horribly ugly if they're celestial dragons. But
well, anyway. if you have an ugly personality, you're also born ugly. I'm sorry.
Yep. Well,
I'm referring to celestial dragons. Okay, celestial dragons. They're disgusting people.
Yeah. And then we've got, so they end up they end up settling down in a home. And they're in a kingdom unaffiliated with the world government far, far to the north. And then, you know, Doflamingo goes, "Oh, father, where are the slaves?" And then he goes around yelling at everyone and giving away who they are. And, okay, here's what I don't understand. Why do the people react like this if they are in a kingdom that is unaffiliated with the world government? The celestial dragons only have power in the world government. Ergo, how would the people in this unaffiliated kingdom have had such run-ins with the celestial dragons? I mean, I could see celestial dragons coming in and it's like, "Oh, we're going to take your daughters and kill your children and whatnot." But at the same time, it's kind of like saying, say for example, we had a ruling.
That didn't cross my mind at all.
Yeah. It just came to mind now. But imagine, for example, if, you know, we had a ruling class of douchebags in the U.S., right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're all, and, you know, we're all, "Oh, yeah, it's like, we hate them, but we can't do anything because they're in charge." And then a family of them are all, "You know what, we don't want to be douchebags. Let's go and live like regular humans." So they decide to move to England.
Okay.
And then the moment they get the English find out who they are, they start going crazy and want to murder them. I'm just like, it doesn't really make sense. I mean, granted, some countries you go there and they find out you're just American, okay, and they may hate you. I could kind of maybe understand if these people hate them because they hate the world government. Perhaps, but it seems like the gripes that they have against them are straight up from personal experience. And so, it could very well be that, because, I mean, their house gets burned down, they get driven away from that kingdom, so we can assume that maybe they were chased out of that kingdom. And possibly they ended up on another country that was part of the world government. Maybe by the time they got crucified up against the wall like that, maybe. But who knows? It's kind of hard to say. I just think it's kind of silly. But anyway, they go through and they suffer a lot. And you see, you have Doflamingo seeing that his father is trying to contacting Marie-Joie and asking them, "Please let my, at least let my wife and sons return. They're going to kill us all." And the celestial dragons, living up to their reputation, say, "Piss off. Don't ever call me again, human." And it's interesting, worth pointing out, that Doflamingo actually sees this. And so you kind of wonder, okay, he says that he killed his father and tried to take his head back to the celestial dragons to see if they would, let him back. But one has to wonder, is that really what happened? Because he saw that they wouldn't let them back, or maybe what he thought, okay, if I kill this guy that they hate, maybe they'll let me back, even though they said no to him. So it's possible. Either way, this is a freaking it's quite possibly the most messed up flashback Oda has ever drawn. I'm not saying the saddest, because keep in mind, this is Doflamingo we're talking about. But it is the most messed up. I still think Robin's is the saddest. Law's is pretty sad too. But if you want straight up messed up, yeah, this one takes the cake. But yeah. And anyway, we continue on with the flashback. but not the gray flashback. We're in the black flashback now. Where Doe Flamingo says, "Hey, Law, you want to be a member of our crew? I'm going to make you my, I'm going to groom you to be my, second in command." And so, and then we find out that apparently Corazon didn't tell anyone that Law stabbed him. So you're like, what's going on here? And then we get just scenes of them all doing pirate things and whatnot. And
Corazon being totally clumsy every freaking time.
Yeah. And you get a kind of a fun scene where Baby Five and Law are trying to beat this giant guy, and then and they're getting beaten up, and the next thing you know, you see you have Doflamingo is walking away from the guy's corpse, and he's all looking all huffy. You've got Baby Five that's crying, but she's like latched onto his leg.
It's kind of, yeah, I see that.
Baby Five is just Baby Five as a kid is absolutely adorable. It might have something to do with the bow. I mean, you can't have a girl with a bow and not have it be absolutely adorable.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so we get a moment between the three kids of similar ages with Buffalo, Baby Five, and Law, and they're like, "Hey, you know what? We told you our real names. What's your real name?" And then Buffalo's like, "You know what? If you don't just tell us your real name, or I'll tell who that you stabbed Cora 2 years ago." And you'd have to think, that doesn't seem like that's a useful threat anymore, because the moment you say that, Doflamingo would be like, "Okay, why didn't you tell me 2 years ago?" But that's besides the point, because we discover that Trafalgar Law's full name is Trafalgar D. Water Law.
Where did the water come from?
I've heard a theory on the One Piece podcast that it's Trafalgar, it was a battle that was fought against Napoleon, and then Waterloo. Oh. Waterloo?
Oh! Interesting.
His entire name is just a freaking pun, but yeah, apparently his, the D is an alias, which I'm not sure whether that works best, because, you know, D, an alias is something you use instead of your real name, but, he. D seems to be part of his name, unless he keeps it hidden. An alias is something that you use instead of your real name to hide your real name, but it seems like he's hiding the alias, so I don't know whether that makes sense to call it an alias. It seems more like, I don't know. I know it's not really necessarily a name per se. It seems less like, you know, a family name and more like, hey, this is like maybe something that's at a clan denominator, you know, something that says, I'm from this clan, but I'm not a family member per se. Like, for example, you would have the Douglases as a Scottish clan in Scotland, but then they had people that were part of the clan but had different names, you know? So...
Okay.
But I'm not sure. But yeah, we also water is a secret name that he's not supposed to tell anyone. But yeah, then the other two are like, "Oh, that's not a very, it's not a very interesting."
And story. Close to me, they're like, "Hey, you said I'm finished, friend."
Yeah, it's like I only said it because you kept bugging me, and Baby Five is off sobbing now. I like how this is a running gag and how it was introduced when she was an adult first. Because now you can really, I don't know, after this these flashbacks and seeing that as a running gag, you can really appreciate the interaction between him and the other Doflamingo members earlier in the arc. But he ends up getting grabbed by Cora, and, you know, Corazon,
not Cora.
Yeah, Corazon, whatever. But he's like, Corazon says, "Is that true? Was that true?" And Law's like, "Who said that?" And Corazon says, "Your D alias. If that's true, you need to get away from Doflamingo immediately. Listen to me, Law. You can't be around him." And Law is shocked because Corazon is talking.
Of course, we're all shocked away. He can talk.
Yeah, I know, right? So this was a great cliffhanger. We're like, what? So thank goodness there's no break next week. He's not going on break next week, because it seems like every time he has a good cliffhanger, he always goes on break. So
yeah. Because he needs a break.
Indeed. Well, sorry. Yeah, sorry I took so much time recapping this, but there was so much that happened in this chapter that needed to be.
Yeah, there was.
It really was a fantastic chapter, and what's even greater about it is that it feels like it was a lot longer than it actually was, because when you take a manga and you break it up into multiple scenes, and of course you're like Oda and you actually have proper panel layout, you can get a lot of material into a single chapter. And so you end up with a chapter that feels like you went through like three different stories. Well, it was actually only two, but you know, it just worked really well, and I absolutely loved it. And especially the reveal at the end that Law is a D.
Yeah.
And get your "she wants the D" jokes out of the way.
They're too young for that right now. In the past.
Well, maybe that's why she turns her back to him every time he gets angry at her. Giggity.
Whatever. How about we move on to Toriko?
All right, let's move on to Toriko, chapter 296, Ecosystem Ruler. And this one, they spend talking, wondering about, as talking about the area that they're going into, and how, and seeing all the different, weird things like giant flower pollens falling. They get to the island and it's absolutely massive. And they see all these different creatures and they found out that they are all... Nobody is allowed to hunt unless they're given permission from the big boss.
Kind of amazing, yes. I mean, everything's so huge. Why can't they just freaking hunt if they wanted to?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And as they're driving, as the train's going through, it looks more like a caterpillar than it does, or a centipede than it does a train.
You mean the shark train?
Yeah, as it goes through the grass, and all the grass is massive. And they end up getting attacked by a weird monkey that has these, its mouth when it opens up is kind of like how the Nitro's mouth works. And also, because Shimabukuro is a perverted old man, this monkey has dangling balls.
Because what?
You didn't see it.
Oh, I see it.
It's quite silly. But yeah,
I'm going to assume that's the butt.
No, that's the balls.
Yeah.
Saggy balls. Saggy monkey balls.
Don't want
to, yeah. Yeah, and Zebra kills it.
Thank goodness. He's like, I don't like your balls.
Yeah. He's like, you call those balls? These are balls, blah. No, not really, but... Yeah, so he just... Yeah, I really love how Zebra's power is just fantastic, because it's like, he just kills them by shouting at them. It's great.
Like a dragonborn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. And, yeah. So we end the chapter knowing that there's more monkeys are gonna come after them. So, this is a good chapter. I like this... where this is going, everything being giant, and the fact that now they're having to go after a bunch of monkeys, a bunch of damn dirty apes.
It reminds me of that Super Mario 64 world where you could be either tiny or be very huge, and the tiny part of that level in that game scared the heck out of me the first time. Because that big giant fish eats you in one hit and kills you.
Mm.
Yeah. But yeah, this is, I did not know it was the monkey balls, I'll say that much.
Yeah.
And I wish you did not mention it, but you had to mention it. Mm. Oh, look, nipples too, look at that.
But yeah, also, just as a heads up, we won't go over it ourselves, but just in case you were interested, there is a, interview between, Shimabukuro and Kishimoto.
Yeah.
So, that's kind of interesting, should probably read it.
It's pretty interesting. It's actually in the volume of Toriko, apparently.
Oh, cool. Well, whenever that gets released over here. All right, let's move on to World Trigger, Chapter 78, Yumakuga, Part 9. And, yeah. So we've got replicas destroyed. The rabbit tries to chase Mira away. But the rabbit's getting destroyed because the Mira is... Yeah, the Mira's commander is sending his Trion attacks against the rabbit. And it turns out Replica is still alive, and he could open the door, but, you know, it's, you know, he's not done analyzing the entrance, so, you know, can he evade? He has to evade attack for 20 seconds before he can get the door open, which I have to say, that's much better than my computer. It'd be like 20 seconds, 5 minutes later, I'm kind of dying out here! Help!
Oh, boy.
Yeah. All right, and we also get, continue to get the fight between Yuma and, what's his face?
Vida.
Yes, him.
Just think of the card. With a Z instead of an S.
I see.
Yeah.
But yeah, it turns out that Yuma can't fight him, you know, can't out-tactic him, so he just goes straight forward. He uses a chain to keep himself from running into the blades of what's-his-face's sword. And so he ends up losing his legs and shooting right at the dude, and he ends up getting cut in half, but nope. Turns out that regular Yuma is still there, and hey, his regular body is Trion, so he can still fight, and he blasts what's-his-face.
Vida.
A new one. Yes. So
I totally blast him right there.
I have to say this was a good chapter. I enjoyed it because I don't know, the fight was just really fun, and I really liked the way they ended the fight between these two.
Mm.
It just becomes, you know. It's very smart fighting. It's very much like what I've been wanting from Naruto.
That's what everyone's wanting from Naruto, but it just hasn't been ever since.
Yeah, so I have to say, this is quite nice, quite nice. Quite nice indeed, but... Alright, let's take a quick break before we move on with the next section, shall we? And we are back with the Plague Special for Manga Cubed, where it turns out that in between the time that we took a break during the last segment and came back to finish things up here, it turns out we both got sick, so... Yay.
Well, he's sicker than me. I just have a bit of a stomach. Ish.
Yeah, well...
Let's just say don't ever eat fried chicken and then expect the next day it's going to come out all fine.
Yeah. It wouldn't be so bad or so stressful if it weren't for the fact that today is one of those days where if you call in sick, you gotta, at work, you gotta have a doctor's note. So... And I don't feel sick enough to have a doctor's note, but sick enough that being at work would be really uncomfortable, so I'm probably going to have to go in, prove that I am sick, and then hope they send me home. So, but yeah. Anyway, let's get into the actual manga, and we are starting off with Nisekoi Chapter 142, Animals. And, so...
I almost thought you were going to say that one song that plays on the radio.
What? I don't listen to the radio.
Oh, man.
Well, anyway, jeez.
Once in a while, it's all right. Even though it's a bunch of pop music and stuff, but what our generation is now, anyway.
I listen to podcasts. Like this one.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, anyway, let's... Oh, jeez, it's hard to think. All right, let's go ahead
and... Drink plenty of water.
Yes, well, let's see. So, we begin the chapter with Marika, who is leaving her last will and testament. And you're just like, well, what is this? Is she dying? But then it turns out, no, she's just terrified because she wants to get the animals to like her, and she's afraid they're going to kill her. So, Raku and Chitoge are going to be helping Marika overcome the animals, and of course, she is... hoping that she will overcome this, you know, overcome her fear of animals by, so that she can go on dates with Raku to play animal-themed places.
That makes no sense. Doesn't she have that parrot?
Well, yeah, but, and she explains that, because they ask her that. She's like, wait, don't you have a parrot? That doesn't bother you. And she's like, oh, some animals are okay, like cats and dogs. I was... passing the pet shop when I noticed Raku Dearest, and then in parentheses, my parents, and just looks at her and is like, I can use you! And then, and felt a connection. So that's how they met. And yeah, and of course this is right after she freaks out over seeing a lizard. And, yeah, so you, they try it with the capybara, and the poor thing is, and you know, Marika is okay with it, but the capybara is afraid of Marika. But it loves Chitoge, and of course Chitoge has a smug expression, and then Marika is like, "All right, next animal," and Raku's all, "Are you guys competing?" And then they decide, "Okay, let's see, you're okay with a parrot, let's try another bird. Like, how about this barn owl?" And the owl is just staring at her with these blank eyes. And she's staring, looking slightly terrified. The owl twists its head almost completely upside down. Marika flinches. And then it flies into the... It jumps out at her. And she just shrieks. And she's running in circles while the owl is chasing her. And then she uses her secret technique, summon Raku Dearest, and blows a whistle, and her parrot comes flying to rescue her, and they both, the owl ends up terrifying both of them. I always say, this is a funny series, I like it, this is legitimately the funniest thing I've seen from the series in forever, and people wonder why I think Marika's the best character, one of the best, well, I'll say best characters in the show, in the manga, just because...
Some people think that she is the best character.
I'd agree, it's pretty fantastic. And of course, Chitoge and the owl get along, and... Yeah, you've got Marika that's just like touching Chitoga all over and is like, "Looks like I'm fine with gorillas, huh?" Chitoga's like, "I'm gonna hurt you!" And so they decide, "Oh, hey, let's try it. We'll try it with our boss pet, the Siamese crocodile." And it's like, "Oh, she's gentle. She's used to people and gentle as long as you don't hurt, anger her."
I can't believe they have a crocodile.
Yeah, I know, right? But, you know, some crocodiles aren't very big, so. You know, it's, yeah, I saw that was at the state fair a couple weeks ago. They had a place with, you know, animals in it, and one of the ones was a crocodile in it, or was it, I don't know if it was a crocodile or an alligator, but it wasn't very big. It was of the size where I'm like, "Oh geez, if this gets its mouth on me, I'll be dead," but at the same time, I would feel like I could still fight it, because it wasn't much bigger than a large dog. So I was like, okay, I could probably, you know, survive an encounter with this. But, yeah. But then, of course, she ends up stepping on its tail, and it just freaks out. And he's like, "Yeah, why on earth would you have something like that?" But then Chitoge manages to calm it down, tie up its mouth, and put it in its cage. And so Raku decides, "Okay, let's try something easy. How about this hamster?" And Marika freaks the hell out. But it turns out she has a good reason. She's like, "Hamsters are the worst." It's like, "Don't let its appearance fool you. My father bought me a hamster once. One day it had babies. I was happy. But the next day only the mother was left. Isn't that gruesome?" And I'm like, okay, that is a legitimate source of trauma right there.
Yeah, fun fact, hamsters sometimes eat their young. They really do.
So you probably want to remove the young, from what I've heard, is that you want to remove the young from the, you know, from the hamster cage at a certain point. But, yeah, that's...
You'll need a spare cage.
You can see why this would be so absolutely terrifying for a young girl to see that. And she decides, oh, it's like, "Hey, you know what, if you hold the hamster, this will be a big improvement." So she holds it and is like, oh, it's like, you know, he's so soft, this is fine. And then the hamster climbs into her clothes and runs up her shirt, and she's trying to get it out. And of course, it's not nearly as fan servicey as it could have been, for which I'm grateful, because that would have kind of ruined the chapter.
Before when the anime gets there.
Oh yeah, they are getting a sequel.
Yep.
And then Chitoge is Marika is I didn't make any progress. No more animals for me. And she's like, "Oh, that felt great when Raku helped me." You just see a flashback of her just laying on the floor, looking all satisfied, and Rock with a blazing red face, and you're like, "Oh dear." thank you for not showing that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turns out that he made her a little plushy hamster. So it's like, hey, you can get used to it. And we end the chapter with her being all happy. And yeah, it's good times. I loved that chapter. As amazing as One Piece was this week, this chapter is really, really contending for that top spot for me. I don't know whether I'll be able to decide in the next little bit. But let's move on to One Punch Man, Chapter 37, Part 5, King. Did you want to say anything about Nisekoi?
Oh, no, it was a great chapter. I mean, the whole animal thing was fun. Fun.
Indeed. See, this is what I like about what I like when manga do is if they actually have, you know, if they actually go into the chapter by chapter stories, you know,
yeah.
Single chapter stories.
Bleach would have been great if it did that, but no.
For more, if it went back to that, yeah. I mean, Bleach for a while was sort of doing that with a sort of monster of the week, except they would, often take more than one chapter, but that was fine. I mean, they were a collection of shorter stories, but, you know, still. Anyway, let's talk about One Punch Man. So, yeah, basically it's, it continues the fight. Between Genos and the, robot person.
I don't know what it is, don't know what the giant robot is, but he's fighting.
Yeah, and you've got Saitama's like, hey, why did you run away? What's going? Are you so strong? You got bored of fighting? What's going on, King? And then we end the chapter with a giant bird crashing into the building. Saitama stops it, and then King is like, I've always been unlucky, but it's getting worse. And Saitama's saying, it's like you attract monsters.
Oh, gee, I wonder.
Yeah. I love that. It's like, so now what? It's in your house. You gotta fight, right? King is like, oh no! Yep. Good times.
That like bird reminded me of something, though. Oh, yeah, it reminds me of those giant monsters from Final Fantasy I used to fight. Those giant bird things.
Oh, yeah.
I hate those things. Zoo, there you go.
Yes, indeed. It is quite big, but... Alright, let's move on to Eld Live, or is it E-I-D Live?
I don't know how to say it.
Because I can't tell, because, I mean, the last five letters in the name are all capital, okay? The first letter is lowercase. The second letter, I can't tell. It could be an I, it could be an L, it could be an uppercase I, it could be a lowercase L.
I think it's an uppercase I.
I am thinking the
or
same.
Or lowercase L. I think it's lowercase L, though, from the looks of it. I know it's whatever slogan is L. I don't know why.
Eld Live.
Oh, I get it. Eld Live.
No.
Oh, God.
Maybe, I don't know. It's hard to tell. But anyway, this chapter, we continue the antics of girl doesn't like boy. We don't know whether the boy likes the girl or not, but they go on to their night shift, because for all the other aliens, it's the night shift, even though it's the daytime for them. And so they go up to the ship, they look around a little bit, turns out one of the aliens, criminals has escaped. So they go after it, and what's her face, don't care about the name, transforms into a stripperific form. And takes out the alien. So, yeah. And then our main character's like, oh, maybe I won't quit because I feel good when people say thank you. And then he has to wipe the blood off because, oh, he's covered in green goop. And they're like, oh, yeah, hey, that's blood. And he's like, wait, what? Ah! It's blood! Oh, no! So, yeah. Also, there's chapter 2 of Death Note, but that one I don't think we're going to read just yet because I do think that what we'll be doing is at some point we'll be going through the volumes for this series.
Yeah, matter of fact, it's only 13 volumes.
After yeah, all. So 13. I think
funny enough, 13.
Indeed, yes. And so yeah, so we're done with that one. So let's go ahead and talk about. Let's see. Open a new tab. All right, come on, Shokugeki no Soma. Which chapter of Shokugeki no Soma are we doing again?
Did we do 89? Or I think we did do 89. So
did we? Let me double check. Because, I mean, let's see. Well, 90 came out on the 16th. So,
Yeah, 90 did come out.
Yeah, yeah, I think we already went over it. Because this is the one, this 89 is the one where they give everyone their knives back.
Mm-hmm. So it's
90. Yes, 90. All right, so these stupid scanlations. There's a reason I go to the official versions instead of the dumb scanlations.
Yeah, well, it'll be a while until they catch up, and then we'll have indeed. To deal with reading it the usual. That's yeah. fine.
Oh, well. So, anyway, we've got with Shokugeki no Soma, we get to see the two competitors in flashbacks preparing, either by testing their noses, which I would be terrible at, or doing push-ups, because for some
reason... First of all, why is Hayama tied up?
Because so he can't, you know, so he's completely sensory deprived, not just his sight, but also his feel. He can't be tempted to touch.
Good point.
Yes, that is why people normally tie people up, especially in that kind of situation. But yeah, so this is a bit of a fan service flashback, because we get one tied up guy and then the other one doing one-handed push-ups.
Shirtless.
And yeah, and of course we find... and of course, we see that Alice is a great character, because instead of being all, ooh, man meat, she's all, ah, gross, it smells, you're sweaty, and sprays the room with disinfectant.
at least she's logical about it.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, they end up facing off against each other, but yeah, I love it. I was like, ah, you lost, but you still look happy. That's why you lose in the first place. And she's like, ah, such a cheap provocation. And then the two panels that can be taken out of context, but I'll take you on. And then it's like, don't cry if you lose. I'm like, oh dear, please, context, keep it in such a place. But
they're just dueling, don't worry.
Yeah, I know, but people can take it out of context.
Well, the series has been, you know, always seen as such, so, yeah, people will take out.
Yeah, it is, yeah, that's the purpose of those panels, to take them out of context. But, yeah, so we get to the present. We've got Soma and Irina sitting next to each other, mostly because Soma is like, oh, well, I want to watch, you know, and she's like, hey, you're not allowed to sit here, and thus, again, emphasizing why we think that she should be the one that makes him want to cook, as was described in the first chapter by his dad, because it's entertaining and hilarious. So,
mm-hmm.
Yep. So then, of course, we get the start of the cooking. We see the two of them, you know, doing their cooking thing, and then Alice shows up and mentions how Ryo is, you know, he grew up in a highly competitive world, and so... yeah, he starts off using eel, and people are like, oh, is he going to make this Japanese eel dish? And like, it's a Western dish is the theme, so... and then Irina is like, oh, hey, you do know that other countries use eel, right? It isn't an ingredient exclusive to Japanese cuisine. I'm like, oh, thank you. Somebody had to say it. But yeah, so... It's basically that we discover that, yeah, Ryo grew up basically in a place where nobody gave... You know, just because he's a kid, nobody cared. They... you know, he had to become strong, basically. And so he's huge into competitions, and that's, you know, he doesn't give his all in class, but if he is in a competition, then he gives it his all. We see that he does really, yeah, he does a really good job with skinning that eel and whatnot. So, and the match is compared to a fierce tiger who bites and pins everything to the ground, and an eagle that swoops down and grabs its prey in its talons. And so...
So the eagle and the... What was it again? The tiger?
Yeah.
So, let's see. If I'm correct, Ryo's supposed to be the tiger, and the eagle is supposed to be Hayama.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, and so, seems like it.
Yep. And so, yeah, and so we end the chapter with Hayama saying that, aha, I will win this because of Aroma, and yeah. So, good times. It's good stuff. My nose is killing me. But yeah, yeah, this was a great chapter. I mean, it is kind of rough that the series is stuck in this endless competition loop, but these are really good competitions. I'm enjoying it.
See, Shoku, I think it means duel, right? Right?
Shokugeki
duel, cooking duel. Food war, that's why they probably...
Yeah, did. Which I think that's what the deal is.
So you can't complain about always being competition, because when it comes to non-supernatural series, the only way to keep it going is competition, but I like it though. I mean, I actually thought that all those meme about these two guys, I'm like, oh wait, I forgot these two guys were badasses.
Yeah, it is a shame that the final four were four guys.
Yeah.
I would have liked to see one of the girls compete, but I guess at this point the only one that can compete with them would be Arena, and she's not involved in the competition, so
yeah,
shame that. But alright, let's go ahead and move on. We need Assassination Classroom Chapter 104. This one I'm certain of is the right one. And
okay.
Let's see, do you want to sort of just do a quick recap? I need to let my cat out.
Actually, I need to open that right now. Okay, so we find out that Irina, pretty much has teamed up with the God of War guy. God of Death thing. Why did I say God of War? God of Death. And despite that she did seem like she betrayed him, she doesn't seem like she's actually... She's still, what's the word, phased by the students, I guess, when they say something like, I don't know why they keep calling her the B word all the time. But when she asks what type of person that they thought she was, one of them's like, well, selfish, weakness, desires, without a man around, your whole body explodes and dies from lust. Ah, I guess you are this type of person. Don't have scary settings.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course, you know, they're acting like, oh man, we can take you out down, no problem. And she's, you know, she's like, I'll give you your final lesson. Then she trips. She's like, ow! It's like, I stepped on a rock with my bare foot. And of course, because they don't take her seriously instantly, like, hey, are you okay? And then she uses that distraction to knock two of them out. And then while everyone's confused, she ends up taking out the rest of them with distractions and whatnot, and just proving that, yes, she is, in fact, an assassin.
And, yeah, forget that.
Yeah, and it's like, hey, yeah, you have no idea, you think you can take me on, you have no idea how many battlefields I've stepped on, and basically saying, you know, she's got experience, they don't. So, yeah. And, of course, it continues to happen while she is, remains sexy while doing it, indeed. It's just me, but yeah, I don't know why, but just seeing these panels in her, basically it's a negligee, but I'm just kind of wondering, man, those are very long legs. This art style is, I don't know, it's like even the kids are drawn with long limbs, but seeing them on one of the adult characters, these really long limbs, and you're like, okay, that looks kind of weird, but okay.
Well... Man, I don't know how long legs are supposed to be. I'm fine with it. I don't know if people complain about, oh my god, the legs very long. Like, it looks fine to me. I like the other legs I've seen.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it stands out, you know, which is kind of interesting because you take a character where you would think the bust would be the most memorable feature, but in this case, I'm like, no, it's the legs stand out more. But yeah,
I'm actually glad it's not the bust for one.
Don't get me wrong. That one is still very obvious. But
oh yeah, it is true. I mean, her first chapter that appeared in that, it was called Booby Time.
That's
ironic.
Yeah, but yeah. Anyway, and then the final team is taken out by Mr. Assassin Man, and they're all captured. And it's like, oh, don't worry, I'll do it. You know, next I will. You know, I'm the best hitman. Next, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take out Karasuma and use him as a hostage, and then, like, that's not going to work. because Kurosuma has appeared, but he also brought Koro-sensei with him. And Koro-sensei is wearing a dog outfit, while Kurosuma is the one holding the leash and looking absolutely furious.
Koraemon.
Yeah, he's like, this is the worst thing ever.
Yep. I hate my dog, but I had to do this in order to kill this guy at some point.
Yeah. But yeah, it was quite an excellent chapter, I have to say. I've been really enjoying this storyline. So, I have to say, yeah, I am a fan of this storyline.
Yeah, it is better than the one that Takaoko was just insane.
Yeah, this one does feel like for more some, of a legitimate
it's
threat.
The God of Death, I hope he has to get his act. I hope we at least get a name instead of just this so-called alias. In a way, he does kind of seem like he could be a grown-up Nagisa in a way. Who knows?
Maybe a little bit. I could kind of see that, but yeah.
Not saying related. I'm just saying in terms of like parallels and sort of like a you know like-minded ways or something.
Indeed. Yeah. I can kind of see that. He does seem like the kind of person that one would. Nagisa would grow up into, but. Alright, let's move on. We've got Fairy Tale Chapter 404, Chapter Not Found. Haha. I am so witty.
Yeah.
And so this chapter, it's, it's basically Urza's trying to fight, but Kyoka. Yeah, well, Urza is actually managing to fight despite not knowing anything or not being able to sense anything, and then. Oh, the cat's like, oh, it must be some sixth or seventh sense, and is like, oh, they could develop senses they never knew if you take away their senses. And then Happy is like, but there's an even simpler explanation. It's because she's Urza. And the other cat's like, I'll buy that. It's like this is Mashima being, you know, just flat out admitting, yeah, she just, you know, she does these things for no reason, just because. Deal with it.
I do these things for no reason just because deal with it.
And then of course Urza keeps beating on Kyoka, but Kyoka finally, despite, you know, dealing severe damage and growing stronger by the moment, Urza still manages to take her out. And you know what I really like with even though Mashima ends up having his female fighters end up in very skimpy outfits or whatnot. With a lot of, you know, with either a lot of accidental tearing or wearing an outfit that barely covers anything, showing a lot of over boob, under boob, and side boob or whatnot, or middle boob. He has this way of texturing them so that it doesn't really feel like it's fan service, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, they're so scuffed up and dirty and possibly bloody that you're just like, you know what, yeah, this is a lot of boob that's showing, but at the same time, it does not feel like it is meant to be arousing, nor really is it arousing, because, hey, Urza's got these giant gashes across her stomach. I think there are more important things now than one's libido.
Mm-hmm.
Which still makes it really weird, because it's like you've got a combination of arousing and absolutely not arousing, so one has to wonder, huh. Is he doing this to make it less fan servicey or what? But anyway, Urza manages to win. What's her face? Oh, jeez, I forgot her name.
Kyoka?
No, not Kyoka, the other one.
Minerva,
that's it.
Oh, Minerva.
Yeah, Minerva takes Urza's sword as it's tumbling through the air and stabs Kyoka right through the heart.
Well, okay, okay.
It was surprising, huh?
Like, look, I can kill people. All right, I forgot about that.
This does have to be quite possibly one of the most gruesome, one of the more gruesome moments in the series, because you just flat out see Minerva drive the sword through Kyoka's chest, so. Yeah, but then it turns out that it's too late. The face is on, or as they say, face on. Which I
absolutely
yes, that's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, is that where we're going with this? But yeah, so turns out magic will vanish from the world. Oh no. And yeah, this was actually a really good chapter. I mean, granted, the fan service was excessive in certain ways, but like I said, Mashima has a way of dealing with that without making it, you know, without making the whole thing feel like it's another one of those series where it's like, oh look, they are fighting, but oh no, their clothes are coming off, and yet they are still in pristine, they're still not damaged at all or whatnot, which is always kind of ridiculous. But in this case, it kind of makes it feel more, you know, makes it feel more like, no, they are not getting, you know, their clothes are not getting torn because so that you can be aroused by it. Their clothes are being torn because that's what happens when you fight.
Yeah, except in actuality, we would be seeing the female parts that's exposed more.
Well, yes, but, you know, he's not
it's going just, that you far. Know, yeah, I know, he's not going that far, I understand that. That's why people go, what the heck's with the sensor here? Hey, just roll a bit.
Yeah, the sensor's like, whatever. Yeah, all right, it's time for us to talk about Seven Deadly Sins, chapter
98.
All right, so this one, yeah, we continue the fight, and we find out that Gowther is still alive, which is, everyone's like, oh, Gowther's already, and then Gowther stands up, holding his head and looking for his glasses, and everyone's like, ah, he's alive! He's like, wait, we have two immortal ones? But yeah, and then Gowther uses his ability to broadcast the plan to everyone, so everyone follows the plan with Meliodas distracting Hendrickson. And yeah, and then they're fighting and they're attacking him, but it's not doing enough damage, and they're also hitting Meliodas, and then Hendrickson at the end finally figures out, oh, wait a minute, I know why you're not using your full counter, you don't have enough magic left to use it. And so we're like, uh-oh, but then as the chapter ends, Meliodas is still smiling, so you're like, wait, what happened? Why is he smiling? Find out in the next chapter. So, it was a good chapter. I mean, granted, I was a little, granted it was a little fight-heavy, perhaps, but I thought it was still fantastic. And let's see, all right, well, yeah, did you have anything to add about that?
It was good. I mean, with the whole Gowther being all headed, I was like, huh, well, still wondering, is he supposed to be like a cyborg or something? I can't even tell.
Yeah.
Not a cyborg, but okay, he could be a cyborg, yeah. But he's not a robot.
Or yeah, he's not quite a regular human, but, all right.
He's some sort of not human.
Yeah. All right, let's wrap things up. We've got 5 minutes. One thing worth pointing out, though, is that there is a sale for Shonen Jump that if you become an annual member and use a promo code WSJNYCC for the New York Comic Con, you can get a discount for your annual membership. It will be $19.99 instead of $25.99. And I'm kind of sitting here thinking, okay, let's see, I've got November and December left. Would it be worth it signing up? Well, renewing my membership now, or should I, you know, or should I wait until January when I have to?
I do as soon as possible.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking, oh yeah, well, $19.99, that's a good price. But I wonder if renewing it then would say, okay, you're good until October of next year, or if they'll say, oh, that's a good year, we're adding that onto the year that you've the rest of the couple months you've already paid for.
Yeah.
It's a good question. I should ask someone about that. Anyway, let's talk about... pardon me. Let us talk about the author comments. Because we've wrapped things up. This has been episode... Oh, geez, what episode is this?
117. Because we did 116 last week.
Ah, yes, good point. All right, 117. And this week we went over... One Chibi's chapters 46, 47, and 48... We are going to probably not finish up with One Piece before it's time for us to, you know, get back to the new manga that are coming out, but we'll try to get through a couple of volumes, and so that we can say that we've finally reviewed all of One Piece. But let's go ahead and talk about the author comments. Naruto's Masashi Kishimoto. I started taking a healthy yogurt drink, yet my stomach doesn't seem any better. Come on! Bifidobacteria, you can do it.
You need to drink that one that's called crap, how did I forget the name? It starts with a Y too. It's that one thing that you poke a straw through. It's one of little small strings. It's kind of like, it's not soy, but it's close to it.
I don't think it matters.
Okay, fine. Just eat yogurt. You'll be fine. Anyways.
Yes. Move on.
Bleach. Bleach is Tite Kubo. It's almost persimmon season, so it's all I can think about. So we can make a persimmon manga next or something?
No, more likely he'll do a persimmon color spread involving his women, somehow scantily clad, because, that's unfair. That's the weird thing with Kubo, is like, he has women with massive busts, and yet he doesn't fan service them all that often. So, but I could still see it. Something involving a persimmon costume, maybe? I don't know.
Sounds like it's something Orihime will wear.
Probably her, Rangiku, and all the other ones. But anyway, One Piece is Eiichiro Oda. I was invited to go to a live comedy performance by the comedy duo Nagareboshi. The Givany Land bit made me laugh so hard, I thought I would die.
You know what makes me sad? It's great to see all those comments, but we don't know what he's talking about.
Nope, no we don't. Do we know what Toriko's Mitsutoshi Shimabukuro is talking about?
Toriko's Mitsutoshi Shimabukuro says, I'm currently rewatching the classic anime Jiren Kochie at the studio. I've forgotten so much that it feels brand new. I don't know what you're talking about there.
Me neither. I'll have to look it up. World Trigger's Daisuke Ashihara. I'm so sorry for last week. I've had my workload lightened, so I will do the best I can.
See, he apologized. How's that?
Yes. Good man.
Mitsutoshi Nashikomi. Played Smash Brothers against some serious games and got my butt kicked. I knew it would happen. I knew it. Nice. Yeah. There are people who play for fun. There are people who take it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy being of the people who take it seriously. Just think of it's more fun now.
Let's see. Indeed.
You get what I just did there?
Indeed. All right. Let's do the rankings for this week. And I do declare... Let's see, fourth place will go to World Trigger.
Okay.
What's your fourth place?
My fourth place would go to, what did I put again? Oh, Bleach.
My third place is Bleach.
My third place is, World Trigger. Yeah.
Okay. My second place is Toriko.
My second place is Nisekoi.
Mm-hmm. And my first place...
Is One Piece.
No! It's a tie between Nisekoi and One Piece, because yes, I can do that. Shut up. It's my podcast.
Okay, fine.
Yes,
my first place is One Piece, though.
Yeah. Well, One Piece is obviously in first place, but Nisekoi was so hilarious this week that I just couldn't choose. So, it's... You know, I just decided, you know what? I am going to pussy out and say that they were both first place. One place. No, they were both first place. They were both fantastic. I absolutely love them. And yeah, so that's been this week's episode. Just remember that something something emails burninglizardstudios@gmail.com or on Twitter @burninglizard. And yeah. If you enjoy our podcast, let us know. But in the meanwhile, remember, the manga is always better, and we'll see you next week. Yeah.